All right, thanks very much for the opportunity to speak to this CETA forum. I've been asked to reflect on rail freight opportunities, particularly following the completion of the rail freight network review chaired by Tim Fisher and the implementation of many of its recommendations during 2008. Before talking further about that work, however, and reflecting on the opportunities for rail more generally, I want to outline for all of you the approach the Victorian Government is taking in relation to rail freight. Our view is that there is a need to consider the freight network as a whole, and the government is approaching the freight challenge in this integrated way across all modes, rail, road, air and sea. In December 2008, the government released the Victorian Transport Plan and an accompanying strategy entitled Freight Futures, the Victorian Freight Network Strategy. Now, I've got one copy, I think, of each document. John, would you just zap one copy per table just to spread around? Copies of this document are available on the department's website. We're not going to provide a copy for everybody, say trees, etc. I'll just talk a little bit about freight futures as it's being circulated. The important thing about this document is that it recognises, in fact, it's a government strategy, but it recognises that the government doesn't deliver any freight itself. The government delivers that much freight, zero. The delivery of freight is a private sector activity. But the government owns the roads, owns the rail network, Melbourne's commercial seaports, in particular a key intermodal terminal at Dynon, and all of those are in fact key elements of the freight network. And therefore in that document what we're saying and what we've outlined is, if you like, some very, very clear policy settings that confirm the government's role in relation to the freight network. And the government's role is to plan for the freight network, is to build and invest in the freight network, and to manage and regulate the use of that network. And the document also outlines what we say are the challenges facing freight and establishes in detail 20 strategic directions to address those challenges, particularly around a very important initiative about identifying and supporting the development of a principal freight network, a principal freight network. Rail and intermodal terminals are key elements of the principal freight network. I intend to touch on a few of the challenges, including the growth in the freight task, and then as requested, I'll focus my discussion on the rail opportunities and policy settings and directions. A hard task in 10 minutes. Let me just quickly zap through it. Population growth. I put this slide up because it shows here that by 2036, there'll be 5.4 million people living in Melbourne and nearly 7.3 million people living in Victoria, and that is a remarkable growth rate. The point about this slide is that population drives demand. So population growth will be a key driver for the growth in the freight task. Just moving very quickly. And population growth over time is going to be accompanied by a rise in the gross state product. Victoria has not just a growing population, but an increasingly prosperous population, as this graph of our expanding gross state product illustrates over the last few years. And I say, despite the current global financial crisis, there's nothing to suggest that the long-term trend will not be upwards. Projections from the BTRE suggest that Victoria's total freight task will grow by more than 97% between now and 2030. Can I say that again? By more than 97% between now and 2030. Also, it's worth noting, I think, that the transport and logistics industry has undergone significant change, which has further contributed to the growing numbers of freight movements. For example, whilst domestic manufacturing has reduced, globalisation and cheaper imports has driven significant growth in international trade. You only have to look, ladies and gentlemen, along our major freeways and arterials to see the growing number of large warehouses and distribution centres which have been constructed, many to support just-in-time operations. Victoria leads the way. I could put up another graph showing you the expenditure on DCs and warehouses in Victoria, far larger than New South Wales and Queensland. But this growth really has meant that parts of our freight network are at or already reaching capacity. For example, there's a heavy dependence on the West Gate Bridge, congestion on the M1, amenity pressures in the inner west because of large numbers of road freight movements. This slide shows the dominance of road freight vehicles compared to other modes, especially within Melbourne, where virtually all of the freight task is carried on road. 89% of Victoria's freight task tonnage is carried on road, while in Melbourne, all of the task is carried on road. The document you have in front of you, Freight Futures, is based around the need to improve the efficiency, the capacity and the sustainability of all modes of freight transport, road, rail, sea and air, in order to meet the huge growth in demand for freight. Ladies and gentlemen, there's more than enough freight tasks to go around. So while there are clearly big challenges in supporting efforts to get more freight onto rail in the face of a highly competitive and efficient road freight sector, we say that rail has a critical role to play. Rail is far more competitive for long haul, such as Melbourne to Perth, where it has about a 70% share, and Melbourne to Brisbane, where it has about a 30% share. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, Australia's busiest freight corridor, Melbourne to Sydney, it has only a 7% share. So, what have we done? We've looked at the rail freight markets. We've identified three market segments for rail freight: interstate rail, intrastate regional rail, and metropolitan rail. Each of these have their own particular characteristics, and it is necessary to understand the drivers of each of these markets and the specific challenges that each one presents if investment is to be effective. Firstly, the interstate rail freight segment. This is essentially a non-port related freight. There are exceptions, including the daily trains from Adelaide, which provide land bridging service to and from the Port of Melbourne. However, in the main, our interstate train services are carrying domestic freight between state capitals. Intrastate, in contrast to this, the intrastate rail freight is primarily port-related. It consists of grain in bulk, some timber products, and containerised product emanating from regional Victoria and southern New South Wales for export through the ports of Melbourne, Geelong and Portland. And the third segment, the metropolitan segment, the third market, or should I say potential market, for rail in this state. It's the metropolitan market. Almost 80% of the containers arriving at the Port of Melbourne are in fact, ladies and gentlemen, destined for Melbourne. And at present, none of this freight is carried by rail, although a number of attempts have been made to establish port shuttles. We say the prospect does exist for rail to play a role in the distribution of this freight. However, having identified three market segments, let's get real. There is a commercial imperative that needs to be acknowledged if rail is to play a greater role in the distribution of freight. Rail service providers need to provide customers with a competitive service package and need to be able to do so on a profitable basis. If rail service packages including timeliness, reliability and price is not delivered to customers, then they aren't likely to use rail. Just a simple fact. Equally, if rail providers, at least in the medium to long term, are not profitable, then they're unlikely to remain in business. The Victorian Government has approached the rail issue on this basis, which is reflected in the Victorian Transport Plan and more explicitly in Freight Futures. I'll now outline the approach being adopted in each of the market segments. How's my time going? Interstate freight. Let's have a look. Interstate freight. This is where we see some significant rail freight opportunities. Based on the investment plans of the ARTC, which are driven by the need to improve turnaround times and reliability on the interstate lines, the Victorian Government has recently extended the lease of the track to ARTC for another 45 years, has incorporated an existing broad gauge line between Seymour and Albury into the lease, and funded the conversion from broad gauge to standard gauge of the passenger trains serving the northeast of Victoria. And this has led to a series of projects currently being delivered under the banner of the Northeast Rail Revitalisation Project. I've detailed them there. I'll move on for time. The important aspect of this is not shining new rail tracks and shining new, putting in new sleepers. The important aspect of this is about improving transit times and reliability on the busiest freight corridor in the country. So that for us is a particularly important initiative. Also, planning in respect of interstate freight actually continues. The government's intention is to work with stakeholders on the development of intermodal terminals in the northwest and southeast of Melbourne. And this will allow interstate freight, which is predominantly not connected to the port, to be handled away from the port. The intended outcome is to free up road, rail and port capacity in the port precinct and improve the efficiency of interstate rail service. A very big initiative. Very quickly, interstate freight. In a sense, we're a little bit in catch-up mode here with intrastate freight, but we think that there are rail freight opportunities here in the medium term. We're certainly trying to hang on to what we've got on rail freight in this area, but we see significant opportunities for growth in wood chips, mineral sands, and potentially products derived from brown coal from Gippsland. The Fisher Review established these categories of platinum, gold, silver, bronze lines. The government supports the platinum lines, they're shared with passenger. Gold funding has been provided for, silver funding has been provided for, and we've done it on the basis the AWB and GrainCorp have committed to use those lines, so we're very pleased about that. Let's look at this one. This is a very this is challenging and exciting, I think, in terms of an opportunity. Metropolitan Freight. Here just shows you the Port of Melbourne and the adjacent Dynon precinct. The Port of Melbourne is serviced by a good road network enabling the efficient movement of containers to and from the port. However, notwithstanding the current economic downturn, the volume of freight to be handled by the port will increase significantly in years to come. However, as I said earlier, virtually no freight moves by rail within Melbourne. And the government does envisage that rail can play an important role in distribution of that freight. But for rail to be effective in this market, there needs to be good rail links to the port and metropolitan terminals. Efficient handling at both ends, given the short distances involved, and very importantly, large volumes of freight. And if current projections hold up, going from a current just over 2 million TEU to something like 8 million TEU by 2035, maybe the current financial crisis will mean that it's actually 2040. Doesn't matter. The growth will be there, and we need to look at how we can cater for that. In conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, we say that our rail network is a critical part of Victoria's principal freight network. The government has a role to plan, to build and invest and manage and regulate the network. Planning is continuing and well underway. We recognise that there are real opportunities for rail to play an increasing role as recognised in Freight Futures and the VTP. We're developing a clear path forward through supporting the development of the principal freight network I spoke about earlier. Population demand growth is placing pressure on freight efficiency. It's crucial that we do begin planning now to accommodate the growing freight task. We have a comprehensive response to this through Freight Futures. Just to put some money where the mouth is, investment. The VTP and Freight Futures provides, we say, the policy settings for rail freight operators to plan and, we say, to invest with confidence. Moreover, the policy settings have been backed up with substantial capital investment by state and federal government and ARTC, totalling over $1 billion, as shown on the next slide, since 2007. And these are investments over those three rail freight market segments that I spoke about earlier. So, ladies and gentlemen, we think we have a plan going forward. We do need to do it in partnership with the private sector. There are some exciting opportunities, we believe. Thank you.